As far as this forum goes, I'd like to first allow the candidates to introduce themselves, say their name, what they're running for, and a little bit of background in 2 minutes. And then after that, we'll take questions from the audience, and you'll have 2 minutes to respond. I will raise a yellow 30-second warning when you're getting close to that. So, Jan, if you'd like to begin.
Thank you. And thank you to the Mosquito Lake School Board and members for having this forum. My name is Jan Hill. I'm a lifelong resident of Haines, born in Skagway and raised in Haines. And I'm running for borough mayor. This is the end of my third term. I had little breaks in between each term, but I would really like to continue. There are a lot of projects that are going on that I'd like to see to the end. And it's difficult to walk away when we're halfway through something. I'm currently serving on the Southeast Conference Board of Directors. We have our annual meeting here next week. And at the end of that, I will be given the gavel and be the president of Southeast Conference. It's my second time doing that. I also serve on the Alaska Municipal League Board of Directors. And in November, I will be the president of the Alaska Conference of Mayors. That election happened 2 years ago, and we have first and second vice presidents, so that's how we know who's going to be doing what in the next year. Many of you know that I've served a long time on the search board. I was actually the chairman for 5 years of the 10 that I served on it. And I also was an acting CEO when our president, Ken Brewer, passed away unexpectedly. We quickly discovered that search did not have a succession plan. So I was hired to go to Juneau and work with the staff there, and we put a succession plan together and kept search moving forward and providing health care throughout our region. I was recently appointed to the Lynn Canal Icy Strait Resource Advisory Committee, and we had a project at Excursion Inn that they needed some funding, and I was successful in getting them $50,000 for that project. And we had originally only thought we would apply for 20. And I said, nope, let's go a little more, and we were successful. I love the job that I was elected to do, and I'd like to keep doing it. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Joni Wagner. I've been here for 23 years, moved here from just outside of Chicago. I raised four kids as a single mother, and that says a lot right there. And my work experience, my first job here in Haines was as the administrator of the Chilkat Valley Preschool. And I drove bus for Head Start, Chilkat Guides, I drove bus. And I was a contract mail carrier. Most of you know that live up here, because I delivered your mail for 15 years. I was a shop manager in Skagway for 3 seasons, and now I have my own gallery downtown Haines, and it's a successful business. I started the first Friday events that are happening in town. That was my idea. It's going on, you know, nationwide, but I started it here in Haines, and we talked about revitalizing downtown Haines, and I thought, well, I'll just do First Friday and see what happens. And it's become a very popular event. People really like it, and showcased a lot of artists, and have a lot of artists that I carry in my gallery that that are Haines residents. And so far, I've pumped about $20,000 a year, which doesn't sound like a huge amount, but that's about what I've bought and given to the residents of Haines, the artists that I have in my shop. The ones that live in Haines. There's other artists that live elsewhere, but just the Haines contingent. So it's about, yeah. So I've been here a long time, and my volunteer experience, I was one of the founding members of Hospice of Haines, and the Haines Assisted Living. I stuck, you know, I was on the board when we started that program and finally got that off the ground, and they built the building, and we were supposed to have our office in there, but we decided to give up the space so that there'd be more room for people to actually live there. So our office was never moved into there, never moved out of my house. It was still in my house where we would meet, and we didn't give up the building space there. I've been a DJ on KHNS for 20 years, and And I'm the Alaska Arts Confluence board member, and I play ukulele. So I'm part of the ukulele group for about 20 years, which also practiced in my house until we moved to the visitor center. But okay, that's it. I'm running for mayor. Thank you.
My name is Diana Lapham. I'm a 28-year member resident of this community. I'm a lifelong Alaskan, born in Ketchikan, raised in Sitka. I was on the assembly 4 years ago. I've had a year off. And I'm happy to say that I cast one of the yay votes for this establishment to hang in there and keep getting through and become a community meeting place like it shows a great potential of doing. As far as my work experience, I was a long-time employee with Alaska Airlines, but what's lacking in that particular sphere is you miss the public dialogue. You miss what people are coming to the committee meetings to express their opinions, their desires, their wishes, and I wanted to hear that. And that was extremely important in a lot of my decision-making. Like I say, I have a lot of time and energy to give to this public office. I know a lot of you, or a lot of you know me, and I feel that you may not have agreed necessarily with the way I voted on some issues, but I am fair, and I listen, and I do my research. When I go into meetings, I just about have the packet memorized, except for one packet that was over 300 pages. And that, I did a fair good job on that, but I had to rely on looking at it occasionally through the meeting. But I believe in this community, I believe in this Upper Valley, and I believe in this facility and what you good folks are trying to do for it. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Brenda Josephson. I'm running for assembly. I have an extensive background in finance and accounting. I've got over 25 years of business management experience. I've, for 9 years, been the controller of Southeast Road Builders. I actually began volunteering 8 years ago. I was appointed to the school board. And I feel like I'm coming home, coming to this building, because it was a lot of work every year hoping that we were going to have 10 students, and it saddened me when we made the decision, when we were forced to make the decision to not have the school open here. It's still a passion of mine. I absolutely believe that one day we will have a school running, that we will have the student population. So. Definitely supportive of what you're doing, keeping the building open. My background educationally, I've got a master's business administration with a specialty in strategic planning. It's been beneficial for me to actually learn how to, as they teach us, the critical thinking. It's called weed out the noise. It's been very helpful for me throughout my career to weed out the noise. I spent 4 years on the school board, and when my son graduated in 2014, I did not choose to run for re-election, and within a month I was on the planning commission. So I've been 3 years on the planning commission. My term's up this year, which is part of the reason I decided to put in for assembly. I've been very actively involved with the issues that have been going on in our community. I was one of the team members on the minor offenses, getting the words out on the challenges that we had, the weaknesses with that ordinance. I really believe the public process is one of the most important things that we need to pay attention to in our community. And I also believe that with the financial situations we have, that my financial background would be a benefit for the population. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Sean Mady. I'm running for assembly. I was appointed as the interim assembly member during the most recent election appointment. My history, I was born in Maryland. I was raised in Chicago. I lived in Florida for a while, but I've always belonged in Alaska. I've been here since 09. Well, I've been in Alaska since 09. I moved here a little over 2.5 years ago. When I first moved to Alaska, I started working at a knife shop in Juneau. I helped the small business owner run and manage it for many years. It's my second week on the job. I met a local craftsman to Haynes who told me about Haynes, and I fell in love with the idea. Started researching it. My wife and I honeymooned here in 2011, and then the day we got back is when I started really, really trying to find a plot of land, a place to stay, and a job to work at. And I've been here for 2.5 years. So I'll say that again. I started looking in 2011, and I got here 2.5 years ago. I have a 7-year-old daughter who's going to school here. I have a 2.5-year-old who will be. I'm hoping to get our property built. When you turn on Mosquito Lake Road from the highway, you'll see a little Shaw Mady for Assembly sign. That's my driveway that I'm hoping to live on as soon as humanly possible and get my kids going to this school. My experience, jack of all trades, master of none. If you name the job, I've had it for at least a little while. I've been a paraeducator at Gastineau Elementary for developmentally disabled preschoolers. I've been a bouncer in South Florida nightclubs and literally everything in between, if, try me. I first got involved in politics when I moved here and found out that I care. I grew up in big cities and never realized how amazing Alaska was and that it's important for us to care, so I'm cursed with caring. I went to my very first political anything, which was the caucus for Bernie Sanders, where I was elected to be the delegate to the Anchorage convention. I came back, joined nonpartisan, started believing that everyone needs to work together for common good to be able to move forward. And that's my 2 minutes.
Hello, and thank you for attending. My name is Michael Fullerton. I'm running for the Borough Assembly. My wife and I moved to Haynes in 2015. The reason we did that is we simply fell in love with this community. We vacationed here frequently, and we left an extraordinarily comfortable existence in California. And the only thing that could pull us from that life was this wonderful place we call home now. My business history is fairly extensive. I acted as a CEO of a corporation. I worked in financial services. And I would characterize my most important and prized profession as being a stay-at-home father. I did that for many years, and I have 3 wonderful children to show the world. So I'm extraordinarily proud of that. Presently, I work for the Department of Public Safety with Alaska State Troopers. The reason I took that position is I wanted to learn more about our community. Similarly, I worked for Alaska Seaplanes. I thought, what better opportunity for me to meet this community, the individuals of this community. They would come through that door every day. I would see a new person. I would be able to introduce myself and get to know this community. I no longer work for them, but that was an excellent opportunity to meet with them. I'm running for the assembly because I, as my wife would say, need a hobby. My youngest daughter just went off to college. But the true reason is I worked as a congressional aide as a young man. And I've always been passionate about public service. And I've always felt compelled to act. And so it's my desire to look at the difficult choices and the good work that needs to be done for our community to make it better and to draw people together so that we can make decisions that work for the entirety of our community, so that we build together again as a community rather than a divisive group that I think we're slipping towards. And I want to try to change that trend if we can. Thank you.
Okay, so now we'll open it up to questions from the audience. If anyone has a question,
they have
to
call. Nobody? Get up. Okay, there you go. Okay, so do we just pick somebody out or just generalized
questions? Well, if you pose a question to everyone and they each have a turn to answer the question.
Shoot, boy, this is a...
You may have another opportunity later.
Well, okay, I'll get right down to the nitty-gritty part. So one of my fears is that now that the recall is over, that some folks are going to look at their neighbors and friends instead of just being perfect childs of God. Instead, they're going to be, oh, that was a pro-recall person, or that was a con-recall person. Do you think that's a valid concern? And if so, how would you change it?
Do we want to go to reverse order now?
Yeah.
Okay, I agree with you. I think it is a concern that's facing our community. And when I decided to run for the assembly, I made a very deliberate decision against the recommendation of every person I talked to, and that was to not have yard signs. I did that because I think it's a divisive thing. I think you stuff your yard sign in someone's yard and suddenly you are attached to that person or that philosophical bent. And I've chosen quite deliberately to not do that, because if I'm fortunate enough to be elected and represent the people of Haines, I want to represent everyone. I want everyone to feel like they can come to me with a concern or an issue and feel as though I'm listening to them, and I don't bring to bear my personal political bent, or I don't hold it against them that they didn't have a yard sign of mine in their yard. So again, against better judgment, I and perhaps losing a little bit of name recognition, you know, so maybe when you're driving by all these signs, you can just superimpose Fullerton over them and recognize that there's a reason you're not seeing any Fullerton signs, is because I'm trying to heal this community.
I think you got it spot on. I think that it's definitely a concern that division is a thing, not just in our municipality, it's in our state and it's in our federal government. That's one of the reasons why I decided to run for the interim position and hopefully, you know, run again for the actual assembly position. A lot of things that I've been hearing from people is, oh, are you crazy? Why would you do that? Or wonder what your hidden agenda is. I don't have a hidden agenda. My cell phone's on my yard signs. You can call me anytime. The worst thing I'm going to tell you is, oh, I'm busy right now. Let me call you back at blank. But I crave that public input. And as far as healing the divide, I don't, kind of like Michael, I have a name recognition issue, but I do have yard signs. I understand where he's coming from, and I respect that. For me, when the petition for candidacy came around, I never asked anyone to sign my petition for candidacy. When someone asked what I needed, I told them, well, this is the stage I'm at, and if they offered, I took it. I'm honored to have had the very first person to have signed it be Don Turner Jr., who was pro-recall. One of the next people to sign it was Gregory Podsiecki, who was very anti-recall. I'm for the town. I don't think the recall should be a reason why we divide when we all live here. We're not divided. We're all in the same place. I mean, I moved here to have my own spot in the woods, to mind my own business, and get away from politics, and then I saw the division happening, and I had to do something. I have the spare time, I am obsessed with researching the subject at hand, and I love talking to people about their point of view. I mean, I've had enough of a varied life experience to be able to understand very many different perspectives and be able to find common ground. So I think that it is definitely a concern to have about division, because it's a concern everywhere. But it's something that we need to accept as a concern and address as a community.
I think that there was an excellent opportunity now for healing in our community. I feel that had the recall been successful, it would have been harder for us to have had this healing opportunity. It was Homer was going through a recall just a few months before we were going through the recall, and I think that there was a lot of similar frustrations that were bubbling up in both communities. I think that we are constantly being told that we're so different, that there is this division. I'm not willing to accept that. I think that's part of the reason why Tresham and I together were sponsoring the dialogues that we had last year, to really kind of break through and start this conversation. And I think that where we need to start is, let's start with how we view things similar. Where are our similar ones? Because as I speak to people, I think we're about 80-90% in agreement with most things. And there's a lot of things within that 80-90% that we can work on that will help us to bring together an effective community that can be vibrant. My biggest concern right now is I really want a vibrant community for our children and our grandchildren. And we have all the tools. We have such a uniqueness of all sorts of people, all sorts of resources, all sorts of environments, and we are staged to really do it really well and do it right, and it's just a matter where we need people to break the ground and start those conversations.
You know, I can relate to the people that were on the recall petition, because during my time being on the assembly, I was called a conservative by the liberals, and I was called a liberal by the conservatives. And unbeknownst to any of them, I am a nonpartisan. But the idea that I'm trying to get across is to tag someone with a name or a entity or in order to make it easier to how you feel you can relate to them. I abhor tagging. I think this community is closer in political beliefs than people are willing to admit to. I have sat in committee meetings with Eric Holley, very strong environmental, and at the end of the meeting, he sent me an email when I got home, and he said, I had no idea we were so like-minded. And I said, we are. We are closer in political beliefs. But no one is giving each other the opportunity. I think we have gotten this recall behind us. Let it die away. We have a job to do. We have a community that's vibrant. We have each and every one of you contributing in some way to this community. Let's move on and get the job done. There are many things coming at us, not only from the state level, but from the national level, that are going to affect our valley, our homes. And I am not going to waste my time on the past. I'm going to move forward. And anyone who knows me knows that I'm very approachable, and you can talk to me anytime. I have answered my phone at 11:30 at night, talking to a very concerned resident of this valley. And I don't know whether I don't think I fixed the problem, but 9/10 of the problem is to be able to vent to someone that you know is in a position of helping. And that's what I like to do. That's what I'm good at doing.
I think the whole recall issue that happened in this community was a very unfortunate bump in the road. But we're past that now, and I think it's time for us to look at that, not hold judgments against people saying they're pro or they're non-recall. I want to build a coalition with people from all sides of every issue, you know, the tree huggers and the tree cutters. I want stump huggers. I don't know. I want to be the type of mayor that collaborates with everyone, not someone that points fingers and holds grudges. And, you know, you didn't see it my way, so it's the highway for you. That's not the way I operate. I think everyone that knows me sees me on the street, and they wonder why I'm smiling. I'm smiling because I'm a happy person. I'm a positive person. And I can't help. Things just make me laugh. They tickle my funny bone. That's just the way I am. And it was very difficult for me to see our community being torn apart by an effort that, yes, we have that on the books, but it should be only used in the very extreme conditions. You know, maybe we should have a policy instead of saying 25% of the electorate, that's how many votes you need. Maybe we should say you need to get 50% of the people from the previous election. That's how many signatures you need instead of just 25%. Maybe we should make that a larger amount of signatures so that we don't have this issue coming at us every time somebody disagrees with the person that got elected. And it was a very unfortunate thing. It's done, it's over, and I just want to move past that and start collaborating with everyone to get jobs done that things need to happen here in Haynes. And in a positive, calm, and collaborative way.
I think it is a valid concern, but I think the healing has already begun. And I believe that we need to celebrate what we have in common instead of letting what we don't have in common and what we don't agree on divide us. I've had many conversations with people on both sides of the recall issue, and I found, for the most part, both sides were reasonable and were very concerned, and I think we were all concerned. It was a divisive time, but the people who promoted that had the right to do that. The process is put in place by the state of Alaska, and for the people who made assumptions about whether someone supported it or not, I always was able to say I support the process and the people's right to do this. They're unhappy. Whether I liked it or not didn't matter. But I think that now it's over and done with, and I've had conversations with those same people after the recall that I talked to during the recall, and they're moving on too. Both sides are moving on, and that's what we need to do. I think it starts at home. Healing starts at home. If I can talk to somebody that I disagree with, and even if we walk away agreeing that we're going to disagree, but we can be respectful about it, we're going to heal. And we're going to be able to work together and get things done in this community. And that's what we need to do. This community has a reputation of being divided on many things. But the bottom line is, when there is someone in this community in need, this community comes together and helps. And I have a very personal example. When my husband was diagnosed with cancer and we were in Seattle for his treatments without insurance, this community came together and had a fundraiser for us at the American Legion. And when I looked at the pictures that my niece took of the people who were at that fundraiser helping me and my husband, there are people there that don't talk to me today, but they were there helping when we were a family in need. That's the part of this community that I embrace and I love. And I think that this recall happened, it's over with, we need to move on. And I think we are.
Okay. Ron, did I see that you had a question?
Yeah, I have an easy, non-controversial question. And it stems from what the fine folks of Klukwan, the tribal council, did over a year ago. They applied for a tier 3 water designation for the Chilkat River. Now, the Klahini flows into the Chilkat, as we know, and if and when the mine is developed, they're going to want to do something with their effluent. And the thing that most mines do is they designate a section of what would be the Klahini River for that effluent. It's called a mixing zone. And then that would go into the Chilkat. I really appreciate what the Klukwan Tribal Council did in applying for Tier 3. And to me, that designation would encourage any mine development to really be environmentally safe without having to dump into any waterways. So I'm wanting to know whether or not you favor Tier 3 water designation for the Chilkat River.
Okay. The Klukwan tribal president brought a letter to the Alaska Chilkat Bald Eagle Preserve Advisory Council requesting our support. We asked for more information. At that point, none of us had ever heard of Tier 3. We had no clue. So we asked for more information because we can't support something that we know nothing about. That was the first time I think everybody sitting up at the dais had ever heard of it. We asked for more information. They came to the next meeting and brought us another letter with no more information. In the meantime, many of us, or several of us, had done a lot of research and started reading about Tier 3. Alaska rivers are already protected at a Tier 2 level, and that's a very, very high level of protection. And I think the Tier 3 application is extreme, and I think that people don't understand some of the downsides of it. Absolutely, I want the river to be protected, and I want our fish to be protected. So I support responsible mining, and I believe Constantine is doing that. At the moment that I discover that they're not, then I'm not going to be supportive. But I believe they will. These people are doing a really good job. I know probably most of the candidates have had the tour up there and seen what they're doing. I just think that we need to promote the Tier 2, the information about Tier 2, so that people understand how protected our rivers already are. And I do not want to do anything that's going to hurt the rivers, and I don't believe that this mine project will.
Where to begin? The Tier 3 designation, I don't think they've even ironed out all the particulars of it yet. And I do believe that the Constantine mine is doing a really good job of what they're doing. I mean, they go so far as to, when their trucks go up into the roadways and far up in the woods, when they bring them back down, they wash the trucks off, so they're not going to be bringing anything that could be an invasive species whatsoever back into town. I think Constantine is doing an excellent job of taking care of the earth in that way. But Constantine is only a temporary stakeholder in this. They're here, they're an exploratory group. When you go into a bank and you apply for a loan, and the bank officer says, sure, I'll give you a loan, shake your hands, he makes you sign a piece of paper that you're going to pay it back. You're going to pay that loan back. And I believe that when Constantine says they're doing a good job, I believe them, and they are doing a good job. But we don't know who they're going to sell it to. We don't know who the mining company that's actually going to come in and take over what Constantine has done once they find out if there is enough ore in that area to mine. We don't know those people, and they have no stake in Haynes. They're coming from elsewhere. They don't know the folks at Haynes like the people that work at Constantine do. And although it may bring jobs, I think it's just a temporary fix. I think we definitely need to have that written protection that says, yes, Tier 3, we're not going to be dumping things into the waterways that we cannot control. So yes, I support Tier 3.
It took me 2 weeks to get through a draft, it wasn't a draft, it was a report of Tier 3. That included Montana, Wyoming, Washington, Idaho. There might have been something, there might be another state there. I talked to several people in Montana, Washington, and Idaho, how Tier 3 has affected their community and their surroundings, and they told me. And I'll get to that in just a moment. What concerns me about Tier 3 is the far-reaching impacts that it would have on this community. And I'm talking about subsistence. I'm talking about economics on the river. I'm talking about moose hunters going up hunting. Two-stroke engines are not allowed on a Tier 3 river. There are many, many points to Tier 3 that have really not been brought out or discussed publicly. The state is in the process right now of trying to get to a program that where they will be able to designate rivers Tier 3. That is, as far as I've heard, and that might have changed, but the last time I've heard, that's low on their priority because of the fiscal issue that they're facing. It's on their radar, but it's not high on their radar. At this point in time, I do not favor Tier 3 for that reason alone. I am concerned at the far-reaching impacts that it would have on this community and everyone that uses the Chilkat for fishing, hunting, recreating, you name it. It would have an impact. And that's what I'm reading from the report. That's already cast in concrete. So no, I do not favor Tier 3 at this time.
I think that it's very important before we undertake something that's of tournaments that we're really thoughtful and mindful of what we're doing and why we're undertaking it. I've had the opportunity to speak to two of the people who are promoting the Tier 3, and both of them assured me that the reason they're promoting the Tier 3 is because they want to stop the mine. It's a way to stop the mine. And I was given some information about the concerns of mining, which I did take the opportunity to read, and I understand, and I do believe that there's valid concerns with mining. Constantine is not a mine right now. It's the Palmer Project is an exploration, so we don't have a mine plan. We don't know what a mining plan is. So whatever Constantine's doing is different than what the mine would be. So there's no mine plan to look at. The Tier 3 designation affects discharges. There's something that it's an EPA, the state of Alaska's take over the primacy. It's called the Multi-Sector General Permit. And this permit regulates all industrial activities. As controller of Southeast Road Builders, we have a gravel pit. Obviously, if you're building roads and bridges, you need gravel. And I administer a multi-sector general permit. And multi-sector general permits have a discharge, and a discharge into up the valley into the tributaries would be not allowable under Tier 3. It's not just gravel pits, it's airports, it's municipal water systems. So I'm concerned that we need to say what are the other effects that are happening. If it's the mine that we're concerned about, we need to address it as a mine rather than a far-reaching issue that I believe that there's going to be other consequences for it.
I'll start off by saying emphatically, yes, I'm a big fan of Tier 3. The reasons why. Tier 3 protects everything that we're doing right now. We can still go up and down the river on boats. We can still do all the same things we're doing now. It prevents any future mass discharges in those mixing zones that you're so worried about. It would basically be conditional use for areas that would be new, that would be using those conditional, that would need a conditional permit to be able to have a mixing zone. And I'm not a big fan of mixing zones because no matter how you mix it, the same stuff's going into the water. Whether you dilute it or not, it's the same stuff going into the water, and our water is our way of life. It's part of our culture, it's a part of our subsistence, it's who we are. Tier 2 is great, but they allow conditional use permits based upon the dumping, keeping the level of toxicity in the water at what they call an acceptable limit. We have one of the largest areas in the world for eagles. We rely on our fish. Our water is our life. If we allow for an acceptable amount, what comes up in mind is Mount Polly Mine in British Columbia, which had a mixing zone, which was a Tier 2 thing, and everything was going fine, and then it overflowed and caused mass devastation because they got too much rainfall that year. So it filled up the mixing zone, it overflowed, and it caused a catastrophe. I feel that the application's been put through. They are now working on a way to judge whether or not how the application process goes forward. It's going to be an issue in the future. I think everyone needs to be educated on Tier 2 and Tier 3, and it should be a vote of the people. And I mean, I've done a lot of research on Tier 3, and it would not stop the mine. It would make the mine adhere to Tier 3 standards. And I'm all for mining if it can adhere to Tier 3 standards. And if the people decide Tier 3 is not worth having, if they want to stick with Tier 3, that's the vote of the people, and then it's a moot point, and the mine can do whatever it wants. We need to adapt to what we decide is our future.
I wish there was just a simple and pat answer to this question. And I look at things from a business perspective and also as a father. And I love the idea of 200 or 300 jobs streaming into our community. I mean, that would just be fantastic. Good paying jobs. And I'm a strong supporter of responsible mining and using the resources available to us. But right in this valley, we have a precious, precious resource. And to jeopardize that in the pursuit of a short-term end or goal, to permanently damage what is, you know, we're making record low harvests of our sockeye this year. To jeopardize the community of fishermen here that rely on those resources, I think is something that we need to be particularly careful with. And to that end, I do support Tier 3. It would be nice to be able to qualify that and hedge around it. But the fact of the matter is, the people of Clackamas have every right to make that application. And I'm afraid that the state government is going to be very slow to act, if they act at all, on that. But I support the principles of Tier 3. And I think rather than letting a multinational company come in and run computerized trucks that don't have a driver, would be a grave mistake. There is no plan. The research that I've done would suggest that 97% of mining jobs now are being automated. So those jobs that we are thinking about are a fantasy. All we're doing is letting a company come in and pull resources out of our community. And what's the benefit to us? And then what's the liability? What's the potential liability? And I think if you look at it from strictly a business perspective, which I like to employ as a baseline, it's a terrible decision to just simply let a corporation without a plan make such a dramatic change to our value.
And do we have another question from the audience?
I'll do another one. This is kind of a easier one on you guys. So, choosing from our past and present citizens of Haines, of the community of Haines, who is your personal hero and why?
I'm sorry, Chuck, I didn't get it.
Choosing from community of Haines, past and present, people that are here and not or no longer alive or whatever, and you're kind of at a disadvantage not being here for a long time, but past and present, who is your hero and why?
Okay, this is going to be, I honestly don't have a pat answer for that. I can tell you why I moved to Haines, and it's going to seem odd to people. Other than the fact that we love to hear, we vacate you here all the time. When I would visit here, I'm a dog guy. Every dog I ever saw running around had a smile from ear to ear. And just the happiest dog community I have ever been to. And I thought, well, that can't be all bad. I love that. So unfortunately, I don't have a grasp of the history of our community. I know I hold Mayor Hill in high esteem and regard, but I would say that my idea is that I love dogs, and I'm happy to live here for the dogs. And I apologize for the answer if it offends anyone.
As a cat person,
very good answer.
I would be a free-range stray dog in Haines. Yeah, I haven't been here a long time. I would honestly say my personal hero is a little more generalized. I believe that the volunteers at our fire department and our paramedics are my heroes. Hands down, without a doubt, they do it for no pay, they do it on their own time, they do it with no budget, they work with what they get. One of the things I said, if I didn't have
no more time. If I get the assembly position, if I was to not be elected, I told Chuck the first time I met him that expect to get an application for the volunteer fire department, because it's crucial. It's a public service that you actually get to help someone with. And they do it all hours of the night with a lot of politics being thrown their way, seemingly out of nowhere, and they do this community a phenomenal service. So I would have to say every single volunteer is my hero.
Chuck, I gotta tell you, that's probably the easiest question I'll get during this campaign. Roy Josephson. He was the forester in charge of the Haines State Forest for 30 years. He gave me unbelievable wise advice one time. He told me, he said that whenever he was going out and doing something, if he had this side of people upset at him and that side of people upset at him too, he knew it was the right decision. So he was a steward for over 268,000 acres here in Haines for 30 years. He's taken me around, he's shown me where the clear cuts were, he's educated me about clear cuts. I had the same ignorance as other people about how horrible clear cuts are. Well, let me tip you guys off. Our freezer is always full of berries because Roy knows where the berry patches are because they are a couple years after the clear cuts. He's also educated me that there's not one acre in the Haines State Forest that ever has been cut that was not replanted. So people think that trees are cut and not replanted. That's not accurate. I can also tell you, too, that he explained to me that clear cuts are very important because when you go out and do selective logging, you're taking the prime trees out, and then it gives the opportunity for the other trees that are not the prime trees to grow, and the trees that you want to have and don't have that opportunity. So the clear cuts are important so that when you replant, you can get the spruce or whatever the variety of trees are that you want to have up. He's taken me around and shown me and thrown throughout the years where the clear cuts are. And he is one of the most calm, quiet, intelligent, and a true environmentalist.
Actually, Brenda stole my thunder. My hero and will always be my hero is my late husband, Pete Lapham. He wore many, many hats in this community. He grew up in this community. He was on the assembly. He hated it. He hated having to have opposition in the community that he grew up in and that he loved so well. He was on the fire department for almost 40 years. He was an EMT as well as a fireman. But that aside, you know who my real hero is? And I don't, as I look out here, I see so many new faces, but Jo Jerkalite, she was a tough lady that mined in the Porcupine. And the stories that I could tell you of her and John Schnabel going after each other, it's like something from an old-time movie. But she was here, I believe, Fort Seward is what, they were a family here, and then she married a soldier from Fort Seward. Okay, got that right. This woman, back in the day, you want a pioneer Alaska woman, she was one. Grew her own food, raised her kids. Ultimately, I don't know how old she was when she ran off the road at Porcupine down the cliff, and it was like, we heard the call come over the plectron, and it was, oh my God, I can't believe she's still driving a truck. But she had a heart of gold underneath all that rough and tough exterior that totally blew my socks off. She was an incredible woman.
Okay, so mine is a collective group as well. Mine would be the school teachers, because they take our kids when they're just little. They're in the first day of school, the parents, the moms are all, hey, first day of school, the kids are gone. You know, they're going to the teachers. They're somebody else's responsibility. Those teachers work so hard. Not only are they're using their own hours at home when they're off school, grading papers and taking care of things, they're using money to buy supplies, which they should not be doing. That should be coming into the school budget. School should have enough money to buy supplies for the teachers. But the teachers that work so hard day after day, taking care of our kids and educating them and making sure, especially in the Haynes School, which are just excellent schools in my opinion, that just bring our kids from a level of, you know, not knowing how to read to, you know, exploring planets and robotics. And the teachers put in so many hours after school that are just volunteer hours. And it's just, it's always inspiring for me to this school in particular. When I used to deliver mail up here, I was always thrilled when I got to come into the school and see and deliver a package or whatever. And a lot of times there's nobody in the school. They were out, you know, skiing, or they were out exploring the woods in the back or whatever, you know. Our teachers go above and beyond, and I admire them all, and I admire what they've done to our community and taking care of our kids and just, yeah, teachers, hands down, I admire.
This is not an easy question, Chuck. I've lived here longer than anybody probably in this room, so I have a whole list of heroes. I had two come immediately to mind, and that was my mother, because she raised me to be the person that I am today. And I love the uglies. They're my heroes. But my hero for this question is Vivian Menneker. When I went to college to be a teacher, I always kind of thought outside the box, and I didn't want to stay in Washington State and do student teaching. So I went to the administration at the school and said, I have written this plan, and I would like to go home for the last semester of my college year and develop a preschool program for Haynes, Alaska. So they told me, after they reviewed it, and several meetings later, that I could do that if I could find somebody to be a proctor in Haynes, Alaska, and monitor what I was doing, and report to them and work with me. So out of the blue, I called Vivian Menneker, and she agreed to do this with me. And so we worked together for a semester. I came home. I broke my father's heart because I missed graduation, and he didn't get to watch me walk to get my degree. But Vivian Menneker and I brought Head Start to Haynes. My plan was to incorporate the Chilkat Valley Preschool and Head Start. We ran that program together for 8 years. I acquired a bus from Hoona, and I was able to come to Clukwan and pick up kids and bring them from Clukwan to our Head Start program in Haynes. And we were in the public safety building that the Chilkat Valley Preschool just moved out of. I had to go to the city of Haynes and get them to let us have that building for this preschool program. And Vivian Menneker stood by my side through every bit of it. I believe she's the first one that started having fundraisers to get things done in the community, and part of one of our fundraisers was to send me to a world teaching conference in Warsaw, Poland in 1976. We had a study tour for 2 weeks in Norway, Sweden, and Denmark, and I know exactly where I was when Elvis Presley died. So I consider the fact that we still have Head Start in Haynes one of my accomplishments for our community.